not here, but let me go to the issue of disability. I see also General Mugwenya is not here, but I think I'll answer on that one. On the issue of not achieving the target on disability, chairperson, the problem we have in the organization, which we actually agreed that at some point we need to review and change our target, is that the target for 2% is a holistic target for the rest of the organization, SAPS, which is in conflict with the requirements for employment in the SAPS, because we need to feed proper and so on to be able to run after criminals. So the target by government is that all departments 2%, but we are looking at to say the 2% should be only concentrated on your 50,000 support services members. It will be ideal in that fashion, other than saying the 2% should be out of the figure of 195,000 members, which it poses a challenge if one takes it in that way. But if one would say take it as those as within the 50%, we might have actually achieved the target by now. But of course, we do have members of SAPS that are disabled, those that get injured while they are on duty. We still keep them, and they remain part of the disability percentage. But that's how we are looking forward to attend it. On the issue of ICT, body cameras, as well as biometric, I'll allow Major General Buthelezi just to comment on that. But however, I'm aware that the CSIR, as well as the TMS division, went on to research the issues of the CCTVs and as well as the body cameras for members. So they were busy with the report. I think they finalized them, but be now at the stage of getting going for the bids. With regard to body cameras, also they finalized the work, but there is a matter that is still needs to be clarified currently, which our legal service is dealing with it, Honorable Chair. One opinion says body cams will have to be classified the same as the Communications Act 70, which means they are intrusive. So SAPS Legal Services and the Department of Justice are currently busy looking at that matter. Whether for us to use them, do they all agree it's fine, we can carry on, or will it need an amendment to the Act 70? So we are at that process currently. But I'll allow Buthelezi to just comment on this one.
Thank you, General Masmola. Yes, if you can just come to the microphone somewhere. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm Major General Galvin.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, General, that's true. In connection with the body on cameras, there's that legal issue that needs to be clarified from the business side as well, so that when we employ technology, we must ensure that we support what the business will be able to utilize. Because as the technology was just there to support the business units, according to the strategy that the business is going to perform its duties. But we are on the process of doing much research. There are cameras that can be utilized on operational purposes. But we need to just to make sure that we are in compliance with all the legislation that is going to talk to the deployment of the technology that we deploy, so that we circumvent the issues of civil claims that can be as a result of deploying of the technology. With regard to CCTVs, we have finalized the bid specification and submitted to our supply chain management for publication. It's going to be a panel of suppliers, because we cannot have a turnkey solution as a bid. But if we have a panel of suppliers, once we identify the need at the station, we'll invite the bidders, the the companies that are on the panel of suppliers to visit the station so that they can make the solution that is fit for the purpose of this particular site. Then we will start deploying according to that.
All right, thanks, Honorable Chair. Then on the other questions, I'll ask General Mogoena to respond on the issue of bulletproof vest distribution problem, as well as the devolved facilities that we still seems not to be achieving the targets, and also the Newlands police station, the complex. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will start addressing the issue.
Just microphone, General.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll start first addressing the issue of distribution of bullet-resistant vest. You will see, according to page 14 of the slides, in the first quarter, we received 210. Oh, before I go to the slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, be rest assured, and I put my head on the floor, all members in the South African Police Service have bullet-resistant vest, and we have that on our system. Currently, we still have a buffer stock. We maintain a buffer stock at supply chain management for in case something happens and we need to call our reservist. So all members, according to our system, according to our distribution, have been issued with bullet-resistant vest. Now, first quarter, we this figure is accumulative, but when you look at it, at the annual target, it has been achieved. But in the first quarter, instead of achieving 25%, we achieved 210.5. Second quarter, we achieved 14.05. And if you add them together, they give you 35.10%. Now, if you add all the three together, they'll give you 92.041. Now, on the fourth quarter, that's why it's indicated, if you add that 12% 05 to 92.41, it gives you 104.46%, meaning it has been achieved. Yes, of course, I would like to agree that, for example, in first quarter where we were supposed to achieve 25%, we had a problem with suppliers. But I wouldn't say that it will impact on our operational members, because what we've requested or the demand that we've received from the provinces has been catered for through the buffer stock, and then we're replacing the new one, putting it into the buffer stock. But in terms of distribution, now our distribution shouldn't be looked at. Our 80% in this is going to be 1,824% against what? No. How are we working on this? We're not working on the total figure. Like, say, for example, we wanted to purchase 5,000 bulletproof vests. That 5,000 bulletproof vests is not a target. A target would be what we received as a demand, as a request from provinces to always have a buffer stock, because in a process, for example, we need to dispose of some of the bullet-resistant vest. I don't know if my explanation is clear. Now, let's go again to the firearms. Where is the firearms? Six. Where is that? Now, I have my... Yeah. Here it is. In my case is 13. Page 13. Thank you. In a case of firearms, we, supply chain management, we decided to procure 3,000 firearms on top. Annual target, 100%, is 3,000, which, in my understanding, it's incorrect. But I take responsibility for that, because this is what we are buying, not what divisions and provinces request. What divisions and provinces request is it's 2,638. That's what we've, the demand that we receive from provinces. And I think I was, we the police, we made a mistake and based our target on the 3,000, which is inclusive of a buffer stock. Now, we should have calculated 100% on 2,638, which is the actual demand that we received from our business unit, divisions and provinces. But we will rectify that, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Now, I'm going to now this...
Honorable Colabana, follow up. Brigadier?
It's page 13, but slide 26.
26. Oh, okay. That helps.
Right. Thank you very much. Let's continue, General.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Honorable Moshongo asked a question of detention facilities in Newlands, which are in a dilapidated state. All the detention facilities, all the police stations are non-devolved. I mean, all the detention facilities are not devolved facilities. This one is still a facility that is under the Department of Public Works. But we are in a process. The National Commissioner has issued a directive that we need to ask the Department of Public Works to devolve all the essential facilities that are standing in the way of policing. So it's going to be part of the submission to the National Department of Public Works that please, in especially the police station detention facilities and our science laboratories, which are not compliant to the latest legislation in terms of, you know, DNA testing, which the Department of we've been knocking at the in the door of the Department of Public Works, but unfortunately with no success. So it's part of the submission that we are going to make to the Department of to have it devolved so that we can including the garages, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. All the garages, they are in a dilapidated state, and it cannot cope with the demand of repairs. Okay.
A follow-up, Honourable Mbele.
Thanks, Chair. Just a follow-up for clarity. Did I hear and understand correctly that all detention facilities, even at devolved police station, no?
No, only this one. It's not a devolved facilities, but at devolved facilities like the three police stations that Honourable Colton, the Minister, referred to. Those the three police stations, Polilem, there are three that are going to be opened. They said those are devolved, so including the detention facilities. Yes, but this one is still under the custodianship of Public Works.
Sorry, the three referred to on slide 23.
Okay, this one are devolved.
Yeah, okay.
These ones are devolved, yes. Can I clarify why?
Yeah, please, thank you.
Yes. In this respect, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, the reason why we did not achieve the target is because of the service providers who abandoned the project did not submit the necessary documentation in time. But we are on top of the game. We will be able to finish this project before the end of, this is May, June, July. It will be finished.
All right, thank you. Is that all the responses from your side? Slide 20 and slide 24.
Newlands, I did explain. What else?
Yeah, I think that's all.
Okay, let's go to the others. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I will ask General Mugwenya to deal with the competency certificates on handguns and the driver's license issue. Yeah, I think those are the outstanding.
Right, let's get that. Thank you.
Or General Mugwenya.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, members. I must just indicate when it comes to the target, insofar as this deliverable is concerned, the department has achieved. The target was 92%, though we've performed by the fourth quarter to 95.78%. However, the issues that were raised when you look at the total number out of 109,424, it's only 114,389 that were declared competent. The difference thereof gives you 5,038 nationally. Now, there are two focus areas here. Firstly, it is the legal principles where there is a clear articulation of Section 49 of the Criminal Procedure Act 51 of 1977, when and how a police official should use a firearm. The second aspect is the use of firearm itself. Now, a member must pass both to be given the competency certificate. Now, in this instance, Chairperson, there are people where we leave room, as I've indicated, that we've achieved the target around this area. Like, for an example, there are psychologists that we appoint as, say, a colonel or a captain in terms of the Police Act. But in most instances, there are those people also that do not pass this firearm competency, even though it's a tool of trade. But when we enlisted them in the service, it was not a condition to say one of them would be for you to pass a firearm competency. But what we've done as a department, one of our promotional conditions, more especially in operational environments, is to include the condition that you should have been competent to carry a firearm, so that we should ensure that there are so many members that are fighting to be declared competent so that they can be declared competent to carry a firearm and to increase the number, that is to reduce this 5,000. That is the situation of the department where we are now. But in terms of the target setting, we've achieved that. Those who are not being declared competent continuously, there's reassessment, maintenance shootings that are taking place to ensure, on an annual basis, to ensure that the members are declared competent. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Colobano. Follow up?
Sorry, I perhaps misunderstood. You said they have to pass both. If you could just clarify that. And also, it wasn't quite answered. If a person, I mean, and one doesn't know of these 5,000, if the majority, if some, obviously some have had their firearms taken away. I understand the psychological issues. So that's a certain number. But, you know, do you have a core number of a few thousand who simply are unable to pass? Or is this a revolving door thing? Do some people fail once and then have a license for a few years and then after 5 years they fail, they pass it, they fail it, back and forth? That's what I'm trying to establish. Do you have long-term members who have never been able to pass, who simply sit, what do? They sit in the back seat.
Right, thank you, Honourable Member General.
Thanks, Chairperson. I must indicate that the issues are two, as I've indicated. There's a legal principle where we get deeper into when to use a firearm, where there's a specific focus on Section 41 of the CPA. Secondly, there is the actual use of the firearm itself to see when can you assemble, can you shoot. You pass both, then you've passed the firearm competency. You are issued with a certificate. Yes. And now, there are instances where members, you might find that they pass one or both. And if they pass one and not both, they are not declared competent. there must be a need for a continuous reassessment. And now you've got members who have been declared by court or even by somebody acting on behalf of the National Commissioner in terms of Section 102 and 103 of the Firearm Control Act 2060 of 2000 to say they are not competent to carry a firearm for a period of time or permanently. These members are included. There are members in terms of the post-traumatic stress disorder that are declared not competent to carry a firearm and should not medically carry a firearm. These are members that are included in that. But continuously also, there is maintenance shooting. If you are declared competent, you need to maintain that shooting on an annual basis. If the year passes and you don't maintain that shooting, you must start to the from the initial point to say you must be declared competent again. You are not competent anymore for that period of time. And hence, the competency certificate cannot be issued.
Thank you for that clarification, General.
Thanks. The issue of driver's license.
I think the honourable member, when she was talking about the firearm, she was making an example of the driver's license, but the issue, I can't remember whether it really was in the driver's license.
Yes, it certainly was an issue, although it's not recorded down here. There has been a situation, now that members are allowed into the service without a driver's license, there was, to my knowledge, never a cut-off point set where you were on probation, as it were, until you got your license. Then, once you passed it, it just seems to me members are taken in, and SATS goes to enormous expense to have them trained, put through the exams, and they can actually fail. I've heard of people in the SATS who failed 8 times. And so they will go on year after year and never have a driver's license. So has this at any stage become something that an operational member must have? Is there a cut-off time to get one for new recruits? You know, what is the status? How many members do not have driver's licenses? And on top of that, even though they've got driver's licenses, they frequently don't get the one that the license that allows them to drive an official vehicle, because that's quite a separate license. And so you'll have a whole station, and you've all got driver's licenses. No one's bothered to get the official one. So no one can actually go out and drive an official vehicle to a crime scene. That's the story I wanted to hear about.
Right, thank you, members. We need to give these responses also the issue of page 20 and 24 regarding the discordance between the... No, we're going to give opportunity, but I just want to wrap this up because we've got not a lot of time this today because this house is starting at 2. So we need to really push it. So let's get those responses.
Thanks, Chairperson. Initially, Chairperson, the rule was that all members who enlist in the service must have a driver's license. But management said and looked at all those kids from the predominantly disadvantaged positions or environments who did not have access to driver's license, etc. I think it was clarified in the committee itself. So a minimal percentage of intakes, say, just for an example, 10% of those that we take in, it's not compulsory that they should have driver's license, but they should have driver's license over a certain period of time. As a result of that, SAPS has got 2 training academies that is focusing mainly on servicing these 2 members. The first one is in Benoni, and the second one is in Bishop Lavis. They are doing K53 driver's training licenses to address these members within the subs who do not have driver's licenses. What we did not take or look into is the question of saying how long are we giving these members to ensure that within a certain period of time they should have driver's license. Management is here is listening, Chairperson. I think this is one of the issues that we'll take on board when we proceed with our engagement.
Thank you, General. General Musumura.
Yes. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, pertaining to slide 20 and 24, firstly with regard to slide 20, the target is 80%. The fourth quarterly target was not achieved. It should be read.
Yeah.
And cumulatively, the target has been achieved because it's 80% and the achievement was 81.95%. In regards to slide number 24, this is a positive indicator. It means that anything below 4.5, 4.5
5-1 is positive, so it means that there's more resources at the disposal of the members, so resource available to do policing. So this is positive and not negative, so the target was achieved in this instance.
Right, is that all the responses for program one?
Yes.
Right, I think let's let's take program two and three simultaneously, and then we'll go to the questions. Brigadier, you're welcome.
Sure, thank you, sir. Program two, visible policing. I'm going to chair, sorry, my apologies. I'm not too sure if there is adequate power supply yet as to whether these computers are available.
I mean, all the members got hard copies, so you can go. You can go. Members got the hard copies in front of them. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Program 2, visible policing. The target is number of reported serious crimes. The annual target was to reduce by 3.14% to 1,704,885. The achievement for quarter 3 was, the performance for quarter 3 was achieved with 437,997 reported crimes. And in quarter 4, the performance for the target was not achieved with 417,030 reported crimes in total. Number of reported contact crimes, the target was reduced by 3.14%. Number of reported contact crime, the annual target was reduced by 3.14% to 596,001 cases. Quarter 3 performance target has not been achieved. Quarter 4 target has not been achieved. The reported crime for quarter 3 was 160,670. In quarter 4 it was 144,977 reported crimes. Target not achieved. Number of reported crimes against women, the annual target was reduced by 8.16% to 168,894. Quarter 3 and quarter 4, the performance has not been achieved, or the target has not been achieved. The performance actually has been increased from 2.6%, and a total of 49,358 cases were reported. And in quarter 4, there was an increase of 0.8% from or to 43,351 during the fourth quarter only, as compared to the quarter of 2016-2017. Number of reported crimes against children, the target was reduced by 2% to 41,841. Quarter 3, the performance for the target had been achieved, there was a decrease by 19.4% reported crimes. In quarter 4, it increased by 1.9% from 11,050 during the fourth quarter in 2016-2017 to 11,262. Number of reported contact-related crimes, the annual target was reduced by 3.13% to under 19,585. Both the targets have been achieved in quarter 3 and quarter 4. In quarter 3, there was a reduction by 4.6%, and in quarter 4, there was a reduction by 3.7%. Number of reported property-related crimes, the target was reduced by 3.14% to 530,149. Both the targets in quarter 3 and quarter 4 have been achieved. In quarter 3, it was reduced by 4.8%, and in quarter 4, it was reduced by 4.9% from 131,463 reported serious crime during the fourth quarter in 2016-2017 to 125,068 in the fourth quarter 2017-2018. Number of reported other serious crime, the target was reduced by 3.14%. to 459,150. Quarter 3, the target was achieved and it was reduced by 4.8%. In quarter 4, it was reduced by 2.6%, but the target was 3.14%. The figures are under 11,910 reported serious crime during the fourth quarter in 2016-2017 as compared to under 9,049 during the fourth quarter in the previous financial year. Number of reported crimes for unlawful possession of and dealing in drugs, the target was increased by 29.28% to 371,986. The target was not achieved throughout the financial year, but the performance for quarter three and quarter four, there was an increase by 13.4% during quarter three and an increase by 7.9% in quarter four. Number of stolen, lost, and illegal firearms recovered. The annual target was increased by 1% to 5,097. The quarterly target for quarter three and quarter four respectively have been achieved. In quarter three, it was 2,893, and in quarter four, it was 1,897. Cumulatively, it is 20,145. It is highlighted in red. It's subject to validation. Number of SCAPs owned firearms reported as stolen or lost. The target was to reduce by 5% to 670. In quarter three, the target was not achieved. In quarter four, the target was achieved. And accumulatively, it was standing at 834, but this is subject to validation and should not have been achieved because of the reduction. Number of identifiable stolen and lost firearms recovered increased by 10% to 129. In quarter three, the performance was 146, cumulatively 341. In quarter four, it was 94, cumulatively 435. Both quarter three and quarter four performance has been achieved. Also subject to validation as in the previous slide. Number of stolen, lost firearms or vehicles recovered. The annual target has maintained the number of stolen and lost vehicles at 36,548. Performance throughout the quarters were not achieved. In quarter three, it's 7,382, and in quarter four, it's 6,630. That was achieved. So both the quarters of performance have not been achieved. In the next slide, percentage of escapes from police custody versus arrested persons and charged. The annual target was not exceeding 0.061%. Quarter three and quarter four, the performance have been achieved, or the target have been achieved. In quarter three, 0.051%. And in quarter four, it's 0.56% of a total of 205 persons escaped from 364,881 persons arrested and charged. Percentage of application for firearm licenses finalized within 90 days. The target is 90% finalized within 90 days. In quarter three, the target was not achieved with 71.41% performance. And in quarter four, the performance is standing at 99.67%, of which 25,348 applications were finalized within 90 working days from a possible total of 25,433. Percentage of police stations compliant with the set criteria applicable to a victim-friendly service. The annual target was 100%. Quarter three, the performance or the target has been achieved, and quarter four, the performance has been achieved with 100% in both the quarters respectively. Average national reaction time to alpha complaints. The target was 19.05 minutes. In quarter three, the performance was 17.38 minutes. Quarter four, 17.44 minutes. Target achieved in third and fourth quarters. Average national reaction time to Bravo complaints. The annual target was 24 minutes and 33 seconds. Quarter three, it was 20.33 minutes, and in quarter four, 21.58 minutes. target achieved. Charlie complains the annual target was 21.45 minutes. Quarter 3, the performance was 19.31 minutes. And in quarter 4, 19.15 minutes. Performance for the targets have been achieved in both quarter 3 and in quarter 4. Percentage of functional community policing forum implemented at police stations according to set guidelines. Target was 99%. Quarter 3 performance was 99.74% and quarter 4 99.48%. Of a possible 1,145 police stations, 1,139 police stations implemented according to the set guidelines. Percentage of identified police stations where sector policing has been implemented according to the set criteria. The annual target was 95%. Quarter 3 and quarter 4, the targets have been achieved. In quarter 3, it was 99.77%, and in quarter 4, 99.65%, of which from a total of 875 identified stations, 872 stations implemented the set criteria for sector policing. Number of rural and rural-urban mixed police stations implementing the set criteria of the four pillars of the rural safety strategy. The target was 888. In quarter 3, the performance was 778 of identified police stations, and in quarter 4, 827 of identified police stations. Throughout the financial year, the target was not achieved. Number of community outreach campaigns conducted. The annual target was 65. Quarter 3, the performance was 18, and in quarter 4, the performance was 14. In quarter 4, the target was not achieved for the quarter. Cumulatively, the performance has been achieved of 86 awareness campaigns conducted for the financial year. Number of schools identified for implementation of the school safety program. The annual target was 100% of 1,250 identified schools. Quarter 3 was 170, in quarter 4 it was 150. The performance is 1,249 from a possible total of 1,249. One school was closed in the KZN. Percentage of crime-related hits reacted to as a result of the movement control system and the announced movement control system, screening on wanted persons, circulated, stolen or robbed vehicles. The first target is 100% reaction to hits, wanted persons. In both quarter 3 and in quarter 4, it's 100% reaction to hits on wanted persons. The next target is reaction to hits, circulated, stolen or recovered vehicles. In both quarter 3 and in quarter 4, it's 100% reaction to hits on circulated, stolen or robbed vehicles. In terms of the annual target of 100% profile vehicles, both quarter 3 and quarter 4 targets have been achieved with 100%. 100% profiled containers was the annual target. Both in quarter 3 and quarter 4, this performance has been achieved, or the target has been achieved with 100% compliance. Profiled cargo consignment, the annual target was 100%. Both quarter 3 and quarter 4, the targets were achieved with 100% compliance. Percentage of medium to high risk incidents responded in relation to requests received from the National Intervention Unit. The annual target was 100%. Quarter 3 and quarter 4, the targets were achieved. 100% in quarter 3 with 546 incidents responded to, and in quarter 4, 503 incidents responded to. Percentage of medium to high-risk incidents responded to in relation to requests received by Special Task Force. The annual target was 100%, and in both quarter 3 and quarter 4, the performance was 100%. In quarter 3, it was 59 incidents responded to by the Special Task Force, and in quarter 4, it was also achieved 100%. Percentage of peaceful crowd management incidents policed. In quarter three, it was 100% with 2,709. And in quarter four, it was also 100% with 2,740 incidents policed. Percentage of unrest crowd management incidents stabilized. In both quarter three and quarter four, the targets were achieved with 100%, 520 and 962, respectively, for quarter three and in quarter four. Percentage of safe delivery of valuable and or dangerous cargo in relation to the number of cargo protection provided. The annual target was 100%, and in both quarter three and quarter four, the performance was 100% with 73 and 61 protections provided, respectively, for quarter three and in quarter four. And that brings us to the end of quarter two, and with the permission of the mayor, continue.
Continue with the detective service. Let's take them together. Thank you, Brigadier.
The next indicator is detection rate for serious crime. The annual target was 37%. The quarterly performance for quarter three was 35.7%, and in quarter four it was 35.97%. The performance throughout the financial year was not achieved. Conviction rate for serious crime. The annual target was 88%. The performance for quarter three and quarter four has been achieved with 89.21% and 89.4% respectively for quarter three and quarter four. Detection rate for contact crime. The annual target was 55%. The performance throughout the financial year was not achieved. In quarter three, it was 50.5%, and in quarter four, it was 51.12%. Target not achieved. Conviction rate for contact crime. The annual target was 81%. The performance for third quarter was 81.11%, and in quarter four, 81.51%. Performance achieved throughout the financial year. Detection rate for crimes committed against women 18 years and above. The target was 75% and performance was not achieved throughout the financial year. Quarter 3 it was 73.18% and in quarter 4 74.29%. Target not achieved. Conviction rate for crimes committed against women 18 years and above. The annual target was 83%. Target achieved throughout the financial year, 83.7% and 84.02% for quarter three and quarter four was achieved respectively. Detection rate for crimes committed against children under 18 years. The annual target was 70%. Quarter three, the target was not achieved with 68.68% and in quarter four, 69.9%. Both in quarter three and in quarter four, the target was not achieved. Conviction rate for crimes committed against children under 18 years, the annual target was 78%. The target was achieved throughout the financial year, inclusive of quarter three and quarter four, with 80.79% and 81.07% respectively. Detection rate for contact-related crime, the target was 47.1%. The performance has been achieved, or the target has been achieved throughout the financial year. In quarter three and in quarter four, it was 47.4%, and in quarter four, 48.06%. Performance has been achieved, or target has been achieved. Conviction rate for contact-related crime. The annual target was 87%. The last three quarters, the target was not achieved. In reference to quarter three, it was 85.54%, and in quarter four, 85.99%. Quarter three and quarter four performance or targets not achieved. Detection rate for property-related crime, the annual target was 14%. Throughout the financial year, the target was achieved. In quarter three, the performance was 14.56%, and in quarter four, 14.74%. Target achieved. Conviction rate for property-related crime, the target was 88%, and in both quarter three and in quarter four, the target was achieved with 89.56% and 89.29% respectively. Detection rate for other serious crimes, the annual target was 36%. Quarter three performance is 36.33%, and quarter four the performance is 36.15%. The target has been achieved throughout the financial year. Conviction rate for other serious crime, the target was 88%. The target has been achieved throughout the financial year, inclusive of quarter three and quarter four, with 96.49% and 96.75%. Detection rate for crimes dependent on police action for detection, the target was 99%. The target has been achieved throughout the financial year. In quarter three, the performance was 99.7%, and in quarter four, 99.73%. Target achieved. Conviction rate for crimes dependent on police action for detection, the target was 98%. Quarter three, the performance was 97.48% and not achieved. In quarter four, it was 97.51%, and the target was not achieved in the last three quarters. Percentage of trial-ready case dockets for fraud and corruption by individuals within the JCPS cluster measured against the total fraud and corruption cases not finalized in court. The target is 60%. Quarter three, throughout the financial year, the target was achieved. With quarter three, it was 61.67%. In quarter four, it was 74.15%. Target achieved. Detection rate for serious commercial-related crimes, the target was 80%. Quarter three, 79.52% was achieved. In quarter four, it was 89.67%. The target in quarter three was achieved, whilst in quarter four not achieved. Percentage of trial-ready case dockets for serious commercial crime-related crimes. The target was at 53%, and the performance was achieved throughout the financial year. Quarter three, it was 66.84%, and in quarter four, it was 70.04%. Percentage of registered serious organized crime projects investigations successfully terminated. The target was 43% in quarter three. It was 3.85%, one from a possible total of 26. And the target for quarter four was not achieved with 42.58%. Cumulatively, 46.43 was achieved, 13 from a possible total of 28 cases. Percentage of identified clandestine laboratories dismantled. The annual target was 100%, which is 20 laboratories. The performance for the third and fourth quarter, 37 was achieved from 37, which is 100% in quarter three, and in quarter four it was 53 from 53, 100% achievement. Number of serious corruption-related trial-ready case dockets where officials are involved, including procurement fraud and corruption. The annual target was 18. Quarter three target was 3. Performance was 3, and in quarter four the performance was 3. Cumulatively, the total performance was 29 cases achieved for the financial year. Target achieved. Detection rate for cyber crime-related cases. The annual target was 34%. Quarter three, the performance was 36%. And in quarter four, the performance was 36.92%. Throughout the financial year, the target was achieved. Percentage of original previous conviction reports generated. The annual target was 95% original previous conviction reports generated within 15 calendar days. Both throughout the financial year, the target was achieved. In quarter three, the performance was 97.98%, and in quarter four, the performance was 96.70%. Target achieved. The next indicator is percentage of results of trial updated in respect of guilty verdict. The performance for quarter three was 97.27%, target achieved, And in quarter four, it was 98.13% target achieved. Target was achieved throughout the financial year. In respect of not guilty verdict, the target was 95% of results of trial updated within 20 calendar days. The target was achieved throughout the financial year. In quarter three, it was 98.25%, and in quarter four, it was 98.18% target achieved. Percentage of routine case exhibit entries finalized. The target was 75% of routine case exhibit or entries processed within 28 working days. The target was not achieved throughout the financial year. Performance in the third quarter was 70.06%, and in quarter four, it was 68.10%. Percentage of non-routine case exhibit entries finalized. The annual target was 70% of non-routine case exhibit entries processed within 75 working days. Quarter three, the performance was 77.67%, and in quarter four, 88.39%. The target was achieved in both throughout the financial year. The next indicator is percentage reduction in case exhibits exceeding the prescribed time period. The target was backlog not exceeding 10% of case exhibit entries received. The performance was 2% in the third quarter and 1.1% in the fourth quarter. Target was achieved throughout the financial year. Percentage of ballistics intelligence case exhibits finalized. The target was 95% of IBIS intelligence case exhibits finalized within 28 working days. In quarter three, the target was achieved. In quarter four, the target was not achieved. Performance in quarter three was 99.94%, and in quarter four, 89.39% for quarter four. Percentage of DNA intelligence case exhibit entries finalized. The target was 70% of DNA intelligence case exhibits processed within 63 working days. The target was achieved throughout the financial year. In quarter three, it was 98.03%, and in quarter four, it was 98.37%. This brings us to the end of program three. That includes both detective services, forensic, inclusive of the GPCI as well.
Thank you very much. Also welcome to Norman Mabatsi. Good to see you. Thank you for coming. We go now to questions, members. The first few from my side, and then we'll go to the other members. Now, first I want to get an indication from General Malasamola, because it's a very serious matter. The cluster commander and station commander of Malodi West, are they suspended or are they actually still in service? I want to specifically refer to the Katlego, Georgia case, where a family went several times to a police station. They were sent back and there was no recourse. What is happening in that environment? On the other side, there was good results by the police with regard to another girl that was lost on the West Rand and she was found. But what is happening in that environment? Consequence management. Can we maybe get an update on that matter? The minister indicated last night, children, vulnerable people, that's our focus of SAPS. And surely the buck should stop with the station commander of Mamelodi West and the cluster commander. And the portfolio committee needs responses. The second issue relates to the matter of land invasions that we've discussed previously in the committee and the importance of the relevant SAPS standing orders to be distributed and communicated to the various police stations. Now, I was contacted this morning by another honourable member about the situation in Scottsdene, Kraaifontein, where apparently there was a court order obtained the previous week. There was discussions with the cluster commander of that environment, but there's no assistance or movement with regard to the court order. So what is the status quo on that matter, if we can just get maybe possible feedback. The third issue relates to the firearms registry. Now, I've got in my inbox my emails and my telephone is on the parliamentary website, so I get a lot of calls. Now, I want to get an indication. who's currently in charge of the firearms registry. The minister indicated last night big police stations and difficult units. There will be a major general in charge. Now, I just want to get a quick update on the turnaround in that environment. What is happening? What is the issues? Honourable Mullah.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Out of 24 targets in program 2, 9 were not achieved. What are the reasons for not achieving them? And in program 3, out of 23, 8 not achieved. What are the reasons? Are there any steps taken to achieve them? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mabija. Honourable Malabachi, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I just want to piggyback on what you were saying about the Detmar Mamelodi West police station. If you can remember, 5 years ago, there was a case when General Mutiba was still, I think it's more than 5 years, when General Mutiba was the PC of Gauteng, where there was a case at that police station. I was trying to follow it up, and then it ended up nowhere, where the police, during my visit there, we found them beating up somebody in the police holdings. And when we followed it up, there were many, many, many stories coming. The simple thing here is there is a leadership problem in that police station for a long time. There has been a leadership problem in that police station. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mashlongu. You covered. Honourable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. No pointed or clear questions, because we covered quite a large volume of data and information that came at us. But I think maybe just one comment, which I guess would be illustrative of the contrast between what we tend to get as the committee at very kind of aggregate level, and how that doesn't quite filter down and translate into reality on the ground. I mean, in terms of slide 77, the conviction rates for crimes committed against minors, that's obviously lumping together a whole bunch of offences where we end up with mid targets across the board. But I can say I can also say, if you break it down, because we received the replies to my two parliamentary questions yesterday, the actual conviction rate for murders against children is only 35%. So 35% for conviction rates for child murders is hidden in that whole bundle that in the big picture looks fantastic. So I can tell you now that in terms of victims and families of victims, especially of violent offences against children, it's the picture looks different. And given the nature of the trauma that family feels, the kind of unhappiness and discontentment that it engenders is still a very, very big problem. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Kalabana.
Thank you very much. Slide 56. Now we've got entire families being tortured to death and reports of rural attacks on a daily basis, and yet it's all red. And I'm sure you know that even if a station, and I've been to many of them in these areas, even if a station ticks all your boxes in the rural safety strategy, it does not mean that the station actually has sufficient staff or equipment to implement it adequately. You end up with one person on patrol in a massive area. This is just absolutely no way. So they'll tick your boxes, but that doesn't mean they can actually do the job. So I'm very concerned about that. Do you have victim support rooms now? I know it was getting very close to all the relevant stations, but has that now 100%? I wasn't sure. And your reservists, where are we with reservists? Years and years of that truly ridiculous moratorium, telling citizens who wanted to help out that they weren't allowed to. And I think we lost probably 90% of the reservists at that time. How many did we have at that stage when they actually stepped in almost to run stations when all the SAPS members went off to manage the FIFA World Cup? I mean, the reservists were invaluable at that stage. Then they were all tossed aside. How many do we have now? Is anyone coming forward to offer their services anymore? I think they were rejected so many times they probably just aren't bothering now. And finally, your air wing, SAPS air wing. Is there a shortage of pilots? I know at one stage they were actually turning qualified pilots away. But what is the status of that? Thank you.
Honourable Mulabati.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just bear with me if this question was asked earlier on. But it's on the shortage of DNA kits at your local police station. What is the status there? Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, then just another question from my side, the issue of serious crime. If we look at the targets, it's a lot of the targets is red, especially on the serious crimes. Now, we had last night on Dekkers Road, Roodepoort, another cash in transit. The gang actually stopped the vehicle and they used explosives to get the money. Now, we've raised this with the National Commissioner previously, the Daily Occurrence, we raised it in the debate last night. But it's quite clear that we need an extraordinary effort in cooperation with Business Against Crime, SABRIC, to really deal with this. Because it's really, you know, it's about the issue of state authority, and I think the National Commissioner raised the issue when he put, when we discussed the annual performance plan and the strategic direction of SAPS. If we have, on a daily basis, these high-profile crime incidents, people with automatic rifles, groups of 10 and 15, marauding in three of the provinces, it actually indicates that state authority is severely compromised. And we want to get an indication. The National Commissioner said he will come back to us. I think maybe in June, and we've got a few days left, we will have to call BAC and SABRIC and the relevant role players in the private security industry. But what plans are short-term on the table to deal with it? Because it's out of hand. We need to ensure that that matter is dealt with. Because it also relates to subsidizing, let's say, other subsidiary crimes. So it's a whole industry. And clearly, within the SAPS environment, the issue of collusion and so on, it's a high risk. So if we can just get an indication what's being done short to medium term. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and the members. Let me, I think, first start by dealing with the issue of the non-achievement of the targets. Yeah, we do acknowledge, Chairperson, that yes, there are targets that were not being achieved, and however, if one looks at the number that we did not achieve vis-a-vis those that we have achieved, we have more that we achieved than what has not been achieved. Of course, yes, we agree there is a concern that in those targets that matters most, that's where we did not achieve. What we have since done, Honorable Chair and members, since the previous year around October, November, we embarked on a number of operations, you would remember. One of them is your Operation Fiel, which of course is one of those operations that is added on our back to basics approach. And we had last year the National Trio Crime Action Plan, but of course in limited clusters only. And we have seen in some clusters where we encounter a lot of these CITs, we have then there implemented a CIT operational plan, which started actually the last Sunday. So we amended from the National Trio Action Plan, especially in the four provinces, that is your Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Northwest. So since this operation started, we had a couple of attempts, but the real CITs, we had two, the one on Ondega's Road yesterday, and there was one earlier the week. So we think there will be some change as we are moving forward. And of course, we also task crime intelligence that they have to get more intelligence, because in the past, we used to get the CITs in along remote areas. Now they go to urban areas. And what we've realized is that they are bargaining more on the issue of response time, which is also impacted upon by the traffic, especially in Gauteng, the movement on the roads, which is a problem. So I've since met with the sub-BRIC, because maybe also dealing with the question around the air fleet of subs. We still do have air fleet across the country. In Gauteng, we have three helicopters. But of course, serviceability sometimes becomes a problem when they are in for a service. We have the special forces, the STF and NIU, with the helicopter to respond. But one of the problems that impact is the serviceability. So I met with sub-BRIC last week, and from their side, they also offered the services of their helicopters, and I've since tasked legal services to look at, we actually would have started making use of some of those aircrafts, but legal services said they need to fix one or two things within a week or two. We'll be able to, so we'll have more wings to fly around Gauteng, because what impact on us in Gauteng is, because they take on average about 10 minutes to do these things, and by the time we respond on the road, also taking into account driving to the scenes, we do not reach in time, so air support will definitely assist, and once we finalize that area of cooperation between us and sub-BRIC, it means province like Gauteng, then we'll have more air support than that. The SNDF, yes, we approach them for assistance, but of course they've got budgetary constraints in terms of air support, but in certain instances they are still prepared to assist us.
General, maybe just on the lead time, because that's my concern, because we had, let's say, a lot of incidents last year and also at the beginning of the year. Now, I don't want to mention the numbers you're saying that you've got in your fleet, but that's clearly not enough. The crime environment is changing rapidly. And, I mean, we appreciate the legal issues and serviceability, but you will have to have full capacity if you want to deal with this issue. It's because the persons who's involved in this industry on the other side, the criminal, they are well prepared, they've got their logistics right, and if SAPS is going to not having serviceability, and that, I think your action plan needs much more urgency. And to deal with it, I mean, it's a totally changing environment. My concern is if you go from a traditional police model, of course you're going to, but it's a changing environment, and if we do not adopt to this and you know, fight fire with fire, we're not going to win this one. General Jacobs. Honourable Muslongu, yes.
No,
still on that issue of yours, I must say, Jefferson, really, you know, if you know the design of Umhlanga area and that Netcare hospital where it is located, I couldn't really believe it. That you will get that that Natu guy chased till the gate of the hospital, and thereafter people ransacking his car. I know that precinct, full even of private security. The cooperation between private security and organized business and responsible. Right in the highly, highly affluent area like that. So, really, I couldn't believe it, really. I think really something must be done, because
to me, that will actually mean to say that we are somehow becoming a gang's paradise now, where people can just do things like that. It's unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. I can't, even right now, I can't still believe it. I don't know, Jefferson, whether maybe there will be some kind of further probing even of that, because to me, that's it. People chasing a person, firing, rattling guns, till they reach the Netcare hospital, they fail to hit the man, go to the car and sack the car, loot everything, in full view of the cameras, of course, of the hospital. Now, that tells me that if you know the design of that area, then it means a person who is just on the other side of the hinterland, a person is completely without any security.
Thank you, Omosongwe. Let's go to the response, General Jacobs.
Thank you, Chair. I think there, as you would have noted, this particular phenomena of cash in transit and is different from the previous cash in transit in that they blow up. They blow up the van in a particular way, in this particular. The part of the process, without going into the operational detail, is to also understand some of those things. Some of the attacks are clearly in the city area, but on the outskirts of the city area. So that's one of the issues that's apparent that we could see. So what General Matamola is to ensure that we cover those, and therefore we've seen a shift, and it makes it more easier for us to do. On the one end, when they, and we tried an experiment in Cape Town, and we arrested 10. After we forced a particular maneuver, and we arrested 10 after they hit. We can never be always sure exactly where they're going to hit, but we arrested 10. We recovered a lot of the money. So, as an indicator, so there is that. The second thing is, you would have seen, Chairperson, we've seized some of the explosives over the last 2 or 3 weeks. That's a part of the methodology is what we've used in other cases of BAT robberies to understand the attack methodology and what the gang needs to supply themselves with, and then to begin to attack that supply line. So the impact won't necessarily be felt immediately, but we're beginning to starve them of those things, and I think that's in the early stages. And then I think the part of the industry that we thought where the committee could play a role, a number of the attacks have been on these new vans. The older van is like the old, almost like a Nyala, which is a complete kit, and they have to literally overturn it and at the bottom hit it. Now you have a normal van with a cabin placed on top of the van, and all they need to do is to separate the van. And the last three of the last four attacks were those kinds of vans. So we're seeing that the industry has probably gone cheaper and resultantly created a problem for us. Like the last attack of Friday is also a problem in that the industry information is available. Because there was gold was transported, and at the point of payout was 6.8 million. At the point of payout, like a kilometer away, they were hit. So clearly, it's the industry not protecting. Now, many years ago when I worked at the airport, we picked up something similar, and we realized that the industry is not having their own security systems inside. Like, you know, how does information transmit from the one person to the next person to the next person? And information became loose, so we were able to tighten that up in the airport environment when I worked there. So it's similar things that we're needing to look, and the talks with SABREC is to get into the banking sector, to begin to talk to those things, because it's clear that some of the information in this specific case, there are other routes that you can't really avoid, because they have to transport it on those routes, and those routes are just between two towns. Those routes are naturally vulnerable. Is to how do we protect those routes differently, and what methods they should do. So there is an approach developing collectively. And ensuring that we deal with the industry at all, and so that in the long term we sustain the security of the industry. I think that's the issue dealing with.
Thank you, General Jacobs. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Chairperson. We take note what you said. We also, of course, as an institution, we are not necessarily sitting back. We are in the process of buying also new fleet, but we are aware that the war is here in terms of CID, not tomorrow. But there is measures that we have put in place now, which we think in 2 months there will be changes. But we have started the process of procuring two fleets. You know that a couple of years ago we have fleets that we are about to purchase. But of course, through a lot of change of leadership, and there were problems, and we are restarting the process now afresh with a view to purchase more effort. Chairperson, with regard to your question on Mamelodi, the provincial commissioner was sent to herself to this specific case. What I don't know now is the status as to at what stage of the disciplinary process is she, because I know she must give notice and so on. But I will have to come back to you on that one as to how far. But we directly gave the instruction to deal with the consequence management itself on this specific case. On the issue of learning version, Chairperson, we did issue, maybe General Masil respond on that, but we did reissue again the directive, which is quite clear to everybody as to what should be done when there is land invasion, which of course now is currently coming quite a lot as a problem countrywide. Let me ask General Masir just to respond on that and the CFR matter. Thanks.
Thank you, General. General Masir, you're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, as the DNC has said, we have issued a national instruction last year, and we as well issued the guidelines on how to deal with the land invasion. I had a quarterly review session last week at Free State where all the provincial heads were represented, and I emphasized it as well during that meeting, and to indicate to them that on the side of visible policing, Honorable Chairperson, what we do, immediately we take note of that activity, we attend to that incident and check if the land is being invaded. Invasion will mean that there are structures erected there or not. Even if they put poles, then we will engage our ORS to come with numbers so that we can deal with that. And we involve as well parties like the landowner and as well as the human settlement in that specific province to come on part so that we can deal with it. It's a lot of them that are happening, yes, and we are dealing with that as such. With the issue of the CFR, Honorable Chair, the component head of the CFR is Major General Mamutete. The component head of the flesh is General Mamutete, but the section head of the CFR is Brigadier Mabule. Remember, we had a Brigadier Mupape previously, and then we took a management decision to replace him with a Brigadier Mabule. So currently, is Brigadier Mabule in the CFR environment. I will as well respond to the other issues that were cited. Honorable Kola Barnett have spoken to the rural safety strategy on slide number 56 and indicated that it's not implemented in totality, as you can see that slide is red. What happened, Honorable Chairperson, is that we visited some of the stations in the third quarter. You'll see that the number has dropped significantly in the third quarter. We visited some of the stations, and specifically we went to Limpopo province, where we noted that, yes, a number of stations were not in compliant with the rural safety strategy. For an example, the coordinators were not appointed in writing, although they were there. And again, there was no integrated operations as per our criteria that needs to be implemented in when the station area is experiencing a problem in crime. So those are the few examples that I can cite. But so far,
for the first quarter of this year, you will see there's a vast improvement. We will reach our targets because we are only left with 43 stations at Limpopo, which didn't implement the rural safety as per our report in the third in the fourth quarter, which is the 2017-18. And pertaining to the victim-friendly support rooms, not all stations are having victim-friendly support rooms. We are having 1049 stations who have victim-friendly support rooms. The remainder of the stations are giving the victim services to our victims. And we have alternative referrals where we refer our victims for attendance as pay in the communities that they are residing. With the issue of the reservists, we are having a total of 11,098 reservists in the country, which can be broken into Eastern Cape. I have 1,321, Free State 597, Limpopo 1323, Northern Cape 816, Northwest 931, KZN 981, Gauteng 2411, Mpumalanga 1324, Western Cape 1357, and head office we are having 37 reservists. On the recruitment of the reservists, I don't have the number as that is an HR function, but this is the total number of reservists that we are having. Yes, we are still the big number 11098. Yes.
Your application on Old Bailey is not included then?
No, his application is not included. Okay. Honorable member, again to just indicate to the honorable members here, we have embarked since last year with HR on the recruitment of the reservist. And we are still receiving the services of the reservist that are trained to do such services at different police stations. And the reservist, we can as well take note that the reservists are called up by the National Commissioner when there are duties, specific duties to be embarked on for the involvement of the reservists to add our numbers on the operations. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Jomasia. Other responses?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. General Mukwena, on the issue of the kids, and General Ramatswili on the detective conviction.
Thank you, General.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think the question was asked when I was out, but I think it's relating to DNA and buccal sample, rape kits or something. We did receive a request from our forensic science laboratory, but due to the pending case and the same supplier, which FDA is, the BAC was unable to approve the submission, and we referred the submission to the accounting officer, which is General Sitoli. The BAC was unable to approve that.
So there's no stock? Is that the bottom line answer, General?
Yes, because we received also a letter from IPEC saying we cannot proceed, you know, purchasing from the same FDA, as you will know, what this huge investigation. And unfortunately, the end user, which is foreign, they're recommending again the same service provider, which now makes it difficult for the BAC to approve the submission. But we refer that to.
Now we can have a whole day now on that response, but let's get members. Remember, we still need to get program 4 and 5. But please give your input. You're welcome, Honourable Malabatse, Honourable Shlongo.
Chair, actually, it's, I don't know to call it an input or a worry. I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself, how do people work now without all those things?
Honourable Shlongo.
No, Jefferson. I think in my attendance of Defense Portfolio Committee, I've accrued very important basic information, because some of these things, Chairperson,
I thought it would be better if you, particularly as a chairperson of this committee, could call upon the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises to a meeting, because when I engage AMSCO on these basic issues, AMSCO has got every technicality that is required, technical skill that is required. But Daniel, because Daniel has been captured by these Guptas, Daniel has never actually been rising to the occasion. Now, pushing AMSCO away, now, that's why then, only yesterday, you have their CEO now, who took an exit, because Pravin had to sit on his neck to say, you either comply or you fall. Now, failure for us, chairperson, to actually then get that thing right at that level. I can tell you, we will have this problem with the Nyalas and all these other equipment that police need for technical crowd control, etc., etc., and then become victims of this rogue company like FDA, which is just only there for looting of state resources, instead of police budget to recapitalize the state entity. Now, because of this, I don't know, gluttonous pig style eating, where do you want?
Yeah. Right, thank you, members. We need to move, because apparently now I've been advised that another committee has got this venue from 1 o'clock. So what we will do if there's... I think that maybe just to highlight the fact that you need to address that issue. Even if you need to go to Treasury, I presume there must be other suppliers, but I mean, it's quite critical that it needs to be addressed. Yes, General Masia?
Not commenting on that issue, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to give the numbers that I received from recruitment on the reservist. It's for the financial year 2017-18, it's 1993. 1993. Thank you, Chair.
If there's some questions outstanding, let's move to the presentation and we can get our responses in the final round. I just want to get this presentation on record. Brigadier, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Program 4, Crime Intelligence. Number of network operations conducted. The annual target was 876. Quarter 3 and quarter 4, the targets were achieved. Performance for quarter 3 was 297 and quarter 4 it was 175. Cumulatively it is 887. The annual target has been achieved. Number of vetting investigations finalized by for prioritized environments in relation to application received. The annual target was 1,154. The quarterly third quarter target was achieved. The fourth quarter target was not achieved. But accumulatively, it was achieved with 1,356 vettings in total for the financial year. Percentage of ICT security assessments finalized as per ICT annual assurance schedule. The target was 100%. Performance was achieved in third and fourth quarter and throughout the financial year. Percentage of physical security assessments finalized as per physical security annual assurance schedule. The target was 100%. Third quarter was 100%. Fourth quarter was 99.17%. A total of 239 from a possible total of 241. Fourth quarter target not achieved. Number of threat and risk assessment reports generated for proactive policing operations, the target was 14,480. The performance throughout the financial year, the targets were achieved. In quarter 3, it was 11,848. In quarter 4, it was 13,637. The total figure at the end of the financial year was 42,793. Number of early warning reports generated for proactive policing operations. The target was 21,720. Quarter 3, the performance was 7,980. In quarter 4, it was 8,961. The total for the end of the financial year was 31,307. Percentage of proactive intelligence reports that were operationalized was 100%.
The performance throughout the financial year was not achieved, and we had fluctuating performance. In quarter three, it was 69.31%, and in quarter four, it was 58.3%. A total of 13,742 reports were operationalized from a possible total of 22,598. Number of tactical intelligence reports generated for reactive police operations in respect of profiles. The annual target was 98,277. Quarter three, the target was achieved. In quarter four, the target was achieved. In quarter three, it was 31,537. In quarter four, it was 30,985. The total figure at the end of the financial year was 118,642.
Yeah, thank you, Brigadier. I think what we're going to do, we're going to, the presentation was made available. We're going to regard it as read. Thank you very much for your, input this morning. So let's go to questions, members. Yes, Honourable Colour Barnard.
Yeah, just the one I was leaping into about an hour early. You're starting from what seems to me to be an almost zero base. There are a lot of red indicators here on vetting, early warning reports, proactive reports. I mean, all the basics that you have to do, you've got the red marks. You've got this huge Aegean stable to clean up, basically. I'm hoping that you're going to tell us that you have a plan and that the plan is going to lead you to a situation where the SAPs won't be caught flat-footed as they have been so many times of late, with 35 trucks burned and no SAPs member inside because they had no idea it was happening. That sort of thing is what we're trying to avoid. So I just need some hope from your side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bele. You covered, Honourable Mhlongo, Honourable Lebatsi. Maybe just a question from my side to the Divisional Commissioner for Crime Intelligence. The issue of informants and ensuring that you, aware that the law enforcement agencies know what's happening in South Africa. I mean, we referred also yesterday to the incident that happened in Verulam, KZN. Honourable Kola Barnard in her speech last night referred to the issue of the trucks on the N3, and it's evolving developments that actually sometimes one gets the perception these events have been planned for some time, but in terms of proactive intelligence, SAPS is not really on top of it. So maybe what is your plans to ensure that there's cover, because it doesn't help. It's like that oversight visit we went to the Eastern Cape in the one township outside where they had two or three, I think, informants registered in a massive area. And I mean, we heard previously family members and whoever else was registered as informants. And what measures, General, will you put in place to ensure that there's coverage? That, because especially the issue of radicalism. There's been reports also from other jurisdictions about threats coming to South Africa. Are we on top of it? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think maybe the important issue to raise is what we're introducing or reintroducing. It's always been there, it became defunct, is the threat management system. At the next presentation, next time we'll present what we've done in relation to that. We populated it and color-coded it using the police crime code, red being severe, yellow being serious, and all of those things we categorized, and we've worked. And we've used, essentially lodged the national intelligence estimate back into the organization. We are surely guided by that document, which is a five-year document and then an annual release of the document. And it outlines extensively, and it's still, when it's done by NICOC, it's very extensive. So it gives us very good guidelines in terms of, given the wide array of areas we must work on, it helps us to prioritize the focus areas. So we are limited capacity. How do we focus our capacity in the appropriate areas? So I think that's the one area.
Within that, added to that, we prioritize 10 key crime categories as an area to ensure that we get coverage. That is kind of the one key element that determines that we do coverage. If we are able to pick up we've got enough history and enough analysis capacity. So if we are able to pick up an event happening proactively, our ability to respond reactively is important. It goes to those indicators that we read on. How are we able to, because I think both those indicators that we both read on are impact indicators. Because I think that was developed a year ago. Prior to that, we were just releasing numbers. Then the management wanted to look at the impact. Our analysis of that indicators suggests that we are not necessarily talking well with our internal partners to ensure that when we produce a report, that we follow up how they utilize the report better. In some of the examples in Verulam, and I mean our engagement with General Masemola, General Mawela, and the CITs are early indicators of an improvement of that relationship. And it maybe helps because there's a permanent appointment that the colleagues here and ourselves, we can talk a lot more easier. So because I think we are compelled to ensure our relationship improves. So, yeah. And in that way, we can talk to each other a lot better. I thought that's an important issue. And from that, I think I must say, from this committee and the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, it's been fairly intensive on our budget to ensure that we're doing well, that there's no money unnecessarily wasted. So that has lifted the committee as well in terms of our key. There are two key areas that we look at. Strategic interventions is repairing the organization. We've got a bad image, we know. There's a lot of things that must, the image is there, but it's also things that must be corrected. So that's the issue. And then we have to redirect. Now, this example of one of the examples to illustrate the example of why we didn't achieve our security assessments, physical assessments. There were four sites that we didn't visit. We instituted an investigation into why we didn't visit them, and we found there were irregularities possibly there, and we started the full-scale investigation. Whereas prior to that, physical assessments were fairly rigorously done, and so our internal reparations is helping to improve the way the organization is working. The IG, in terms of, you asked here, what is the strategy? A lot of it is located in repairing what the IG has identified. IG has identified 71 problems. We've established a team led by General Chika and a brigadier and a colonel, who's a finance officer, and a brigadier and a county intelligence expert. And in that process, we were able to be getting quite deep into the organization and be able to identify where the problems were and repairing as we are covering them. So that is helping already to set the organization's tone right. The second part is introducing austerity, starting from the office of the divisional commissioner right down. And it's simple things that I laugh about it, but people laugh when I say, but the divisional commissioner's vehicle, I'm now being driven in a smaller car, a very obviously smaller car, to ensure that that point is made. And it sets then the tone with the type of vehicles we buy. We have the vehicles, but when the time is up, we'll replace them with smaller vehicles. For example, that's the one issue. Although it's not in your in this terrain necessarily, but in the Secret Service account, we ensure that we do rentals, we do it well. You know, if we renew, we re-look at whether we renew. So it's about repairing and looking at strategy a lot more closer. Then I think the issue is to develop in the interim. We've got four key problems that are ravaging the country: cash in transit, gangsterism, and those the two specifically has got issues with the authority of the state. Then there's public violence and political killings, or taxi violence, public violence, political killings, and all for the authority of the state. We've established a capacity, finalized, but we set up some people to look at that. As whilst we go deep were able to at least reactively respond. We did promise that by the end of June we'll give a report to the committee in terms of where it's reasonable. We keep an extent of the problem. We promised the intelligence committee the same. And through the two committees, we'll be able to give you a picture of what happened. There are problems, but I must also say there are a lot of good people there. There are a lot of good people. We're smiling again. I think that's an important issue. We're no more angry with each other. There's been some resignations, too, so far, which I thought was an important one. Some of the people that's on suspension are about to come back, but the disciplinary is starting with that in case that those are some of the issues that we have
questions.
To treat them fairly. But we're beginning to turn the corner, but it's early days. That's what I can say. But those crime issues, we are beginning to see where we can be of assistance in those areas.
Yeah.
And from the natural, General Masamola is on our back to ensure that we make our people available so that our responsiveness to the operational environment is also key. So I think that's where we the strategy will be finalized in the month or so.
Thank you, General. General Masamola, any other responses that's still outstanding? There's a hand, General.
All right, yes.
Just the microphone so that we have you on record. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Relating to slide 77, where Honorable Mbele wanted to know about the conviction. We did achieve it, but like he say, maybe murders are too low relating to children. We take note of that fact. He's mentioning maybe that murders are low, but those cases which we receive, we try by all means that at the end we get the conviction at the court. That is why the indicator does show that we did achieve convictions for crimes against children. Even where we are informed about serious incidents, we do our best to activate FCS and to try to assist the children. For instance, in this month, there was a kidnapping of a child in Bracken Downs where a ransom was demanded from the parents before the child can be released. We worked on that case for plus minus 5 days, and ultimately we managed to find the child. So where information is given in time, we do our best to try to avoid these matters. And once it's committed and we receive a docket, we also do our best to ensure that case in court does get a conviction. And unfortunately, again, yesterday there was at Tokoza two children found in the bush, killed. It's complex cases. You can imagine now you find them or killed like that. An example, one was in a bag. So we have to use everything in our power to identify who caused this and ultimately prove that this is the one who killed this one. So we try our best. Our conviction speaks for itself. It might be that the cases are few, but where we have information in time, we do our best to try to convict. The second one is the question of the availability of DNA. Is it available? Are the kids still available? What we experience is that sometimes stations will say the DNA is not available, the kids are not available. But when you visit the station, you find that they actually didn't order. So we do intervene and we try to guide that they should not wait until the kids are completely finished before they apply. They must apply and try to keep sufficient stock so that when they are needed, they can be used. Some of them, sometimes they will say the kids are finished, but when you go and check with their supply chain, you found that they actually didn't order in time and the kids are now finished. That's one example I picked, for instance, when I was doing intervention sometimes in KZN. The cluster commanders are the main ones who must order, and the stations are collecting from the cluster commanders. So it might be one of those reasons, I'm not sure. Forensics, unfortunately, they are part of Program 3. They would have informed us better, but there's nobody from forensics. But from the background of my own visits and inspections, that's what I picked up, that sometimes cause the shortages. Okay, there's a question.
Yeah, maybe we've got 2 minutes, so I want to close.
I'm just saying, please, I never want to hear again that a station has sent parents, in this case of the autistic girl, just sent them away. Oh, come back, you have to wait 24 hours before you report it. In this day and age, they actually say that to parents, and of course she was murdered. Now, please, don't ever let us see a headline. I don't care, send every member of the SAPS an SMS, do something nasty, fierce, whatever, but whoever did that should actually be up before a disciplinary hearing. They were the cause of the death of that child.
Right, we already dealt with that. Is there anything else that we must deal with? Yes, General.
Yeah. I've got something, Honorable Chair. Through General Masimula, I don't know if you give me that chance, especially with the pilot. There was a question asked about the pilot. Can I take it, General? Yes, yeah, we definitely have an issue on the side of the pilot. As everybody knows, it is a scarce skill. But we're supposed to have 60 pilots nationally in the country. But with that, 60, yeah, in the whole country. But presently we have 50. Out of that, we have already submitted the request for the post in this financial year to close that. However, we got trainees, 9 of them are in training now. If they come successfully, they will be able to close the gap as well, relying as well to the request of the closing of the post as well. So we have something in place. Thank you.
General Simola, anything else?
Chairperson, we appreciate the guidance we got from the committee, and we will go and attend to the areas that have been identified and work on, and thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Maybe just one final question, General. Tonight at 6:15, all the eyes of South Africa is going to be on the FNB Stadium. Are you ready?
Yes.
And the result? Right. Thank you very much, honourable members, for your input. Thank you to General Masimola and his team. There is a few issues flowing from this input that we will have to follow up in June, but we will determine that at the Manco and come back to the members. So thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. What's the result? 3-1 for Sundowns.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.